With SDPB News, I'm Patrick Williams. Authorities say a woman is facing drunk driving charges after crashing into a Rapid City Police Department building. Police say an SUV crashed into the department's Southwest Precinct building early Sunday morning. The 36-year-old driver was thrown from the vehicle before it struck the building. She was hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries. Investigators say she is charged with her second DUI offense as well as driving without a license. No one was inside the building at the time of the crash. Over 400,000 turkeys have been euthanized in South Dakota because of bird flu. With the most recent detection coming a week ago, the state continues to lead the nation in affected birds by a wide margin. In total, about 420,000 birds have been killed in the state in the last 30 days. That's across 8 commercial turkey farms and 1 backyard flock. North Dakota is also facing outbreaks, resulting in over 100,000 birds dead. Minnesota is reporting its first detection in the past month as well. South Dakota's state veterinarian Beth Thompson says USDA is helping with epidemiology reviews for the infected sites. As for leads on the spread, she says they've identified detections in blue-winged teal, a popular hunting bird. However, she says they, quote, are not able to ascertain if the teal were affected prior to or after the domestic poultry on site. The state of South Dakota, along with several tribes, are receiving federal funding to address the opioid crisis. The State Department of Social Services is getting just over $4 million, which is its share of the $1.5 billion state and tribal opioid response grants. Several tribes within the state, including the Flandreau Santee, Ogallala Lakota, Rosebud, Standing Rock, and Sisseton Wahpeton Sioux tribes, are also receiving grants, which combine total over $2 million. The U.S. Health and Human Services Department says these grants provide resources to communities to address the opioid crisis through prevention, treatment, and recovery support. As tax increment finance, or TIF, districts continue to be debated, they were an item of focus at the most recent meeting of the State Comprehensive Property Tax Task Force. Some lawmakers still aren't convinced of their effectiveness. SDPB's CJ Keene has more.
TIF districts allow municipal governments to incentivize business developments in their area via funding. Mainly that comes in the form of roads, sewer, and other utilities. Take Rapid City, for example. The community has multiple TIF districts, including one seeking to build a theme park and another for several fast food restaurants. Some residents have petitioned against these TIFs, aiming to make these projects ballot issues for the next election. One staunchly anti-TIF lawmaker is Rapid City Republican Taffy Howard. Howard says the use of this funding mechanism is a way for taxpayers to subsidize corporate development.
One of the arguments in favor of TIFs is that it will bring in all this additional assessed value. It will help keep everyone's property taxes lower. But in your time in Department of Revenue, have you ever seen those cities not take the max increase that they're allowed to take? In other words, have you ever seen TIFs actually lower property taxes?
That question was directed at Department of Revenue Secretary Michael Hodeschell.
I can think of some situations where cities or counties have not taken the max.
Advocates in favor of TIFs contend that they are worth the cost as they bring new developments and jobs to the area while raising land values. However, Howard pressed, asking if communities eventually take the maximum allowed under policy. Hodeschell says it requires more research.
I guess I'm not sure. I could certainly look into that for you because we track that. So I'm not sure if they all use it eventually or if some of it just ends up, you know, going away because they didn't utilize it.
TIF districts primarily come from the property tax pool, which lawmakers have set a goal of slashing in the upcoming legislative session. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
Incumbent South Dakota Secretary of State Monet Johnson is facing a challenge from within her own party in the next election. State Representative Heather Baxter has announced plans to run for Secretary of State. Baxter represents District 34 in Rapid City. The 2025 session was her first term in office. In her candidacy announcement, Baxter described herself as a Christian conservative and a, quote, avid advocate of election reform. Last session, she introduced several election-related bills, including one requiring the Secretary of State to make voter registration records available for free. She'll square off against Johnson in the Republican State Convention next summer. Johnson herself unseated an incumbent Republican in the 2022 convention, running on a platform of election integrity. Following South Dakota's passage of a bill banning eminent domain use for carbon pipelines, Many considered Summit Carbon Solutions' pipeline impossible in the state. As the project's outlook continues to be unclear, North Dakota's attorney general says he's looking at many options, including suing South Dakota. SDPB's Jackson Dirks reports.
According to State's Newsroom, on September 15th, Summit Carbon Solutions filed a petition with the Iowa Utilities Commission to change its permit in Iowa and, quote, amend the conditions regarding North Dakota and South Dakota. This comes following South Dakota's HB 1052 and two lawsuits in North Dakota over Summit's approved permits. According to Fargo-based radio station WZFG, North Dakota Attorney General Drew Wrigley says he's considering suing South Dakota for inhibiting North Dakota's access to the pipeline.
We have and are examining all possibilities in the wake of what I think was not just a bad policy choice by South Dakota in deciding they're going to look at just one commodity, CO2, and for CO2 they're going to remove the constitutional protections, and it's a societal protection of eminent domain. South Dakota took away the constitutional power. My question is, how do you legislate, how do you change the Constitution with your legislation? It doesn't work that way. The Constitution controls all legislation. So we're troubled that South Dakota took that very hostile act.
In response to Wrigley's comments, South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley provided a statement saying he, quote, will defend the laws and people of South Dakota. It's as simple as that. He added that the legislature, Governor Larry Roden, and people of South Dakota voted for the private property rights, and he will support them. Wrigley told WZFG they're examining their options following Summit's request to change their Iowa permit.
As we speak, I'm in the midst of conducting some legal research into what are North Dakota's options, because at the end of the day, the United States has a commerce clause in our federal constitution, because to have a nation, you have to have commerce between and around and across states. Painting pretty broad brush here, but there are limitations on what one state can do that then would make them into the regulator of the nation, so to speak.
In response, Governor Roden pointed to a letter he signed in March saying he would, quote, continue to support the private property of our people and opportunity for value-added agriculture. MSDPB's Jackson Dirks.
Law enforcement officials are reminding consumers to be careful online after a Sioux Falls woman lost hundreds of thousands in a social media scam. Police say the victim became friends with a man over TikTok. He said he was overseas and needed help with his bank account. The scammer promised the woman he'd give her an account with over $1 million in it in return for the help. Over the next several months, the woman sent over $200,000 in Bitcoin and digital gift cards. No arrests have been made, investigators say, due to the digital nature of the crime. It will be nearly impossible to recover the woman's money. The South Dakota Department of Veteran Affairs is announcing its next bridge dedication for fallen South Dakota soldiers. VA officials say the state is dedicating the SD Highway 27 bridge over Crow Creek, south of Britton, to Sergeant Dirk R. Abbas. Abbas volunteered for the U.S. Marine Corps in February of 1951. He was deployed to Korea and was killed in action by enemy artillery while his unit was conducting a night patrol in 1952. A bridge dedication ceremony is scheduled for Friday, October 3rd at 2 p.m. local time at the Britton Area Events Center. The dedication is part of the state's Fallen Heroes Bridge Dedication Program that was launched in 2019. Officials say these dedications serve as lasting symbols of gratitude and respect for those who served. This is the 12th dedication so far this year. I'm SDPB's Patrick Williams. And that is your daily news update. Be sure to check back here Monday through Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. You can follow us on social media as well, so be sure to check out SDPB's Facebook, Instagram, and X pages. Thanks for listening.